Why are so many people doing yoga? A recent study found that more than 20 million Americans say they practice yoga, and that another 44 million intend to try it. Most of those surveyed want to improve their flexibility and overall fitness and reduce stress. There are different kinds of yoga, and they mean different things to different people. Many adherents of yoga are enthusiastic in their dedication to it and praise its benefits for both mental and physical health. But yoga may not be for everyone, and people can and do get hurt practicing it. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, a closer look at yoga and all the different ways it's applied, from medical treatment to spiritual awakening. Maine Calling gets on its mat and breathes deeply. But first, this news update. From the MPBN studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Say yoga to some people, and they may think of poses such as warrior, downward dog, and cobra. Others may see yoga as just the latest exercise fad. Well, yoga is used not only for fitness buffs, but also for arthritis patients, victims of trauma, pregnant moms, and in a multitude of other ways. Today, we'll learn more about yoga, just what it is, how best to do it, and whether or not it may be for you. In the studio with me, Dr. Nancy Ball. She's a physiatrist at Maine Neurosurgery and Spine at Maine Medical Center. John Charlebois is a licensed acupuncturist specializing in traditional Chinese medicine, and also a yoga instructor at Jade Integrated Health. And Melanie Burns is a certified Baptiste teacher who owns and operates the Snow Squall Bed and Breakfast and Wicked Good Yoga in Wiscasset, Maine. Of course, we want to hear from you. Do you do yoga? If not, have you considered taking it up? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net. You can send a tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. I want to welcome all of you to Maine Calling today. And I'm going to start with the big, profound question. And Melanie, I'm going to put this to you first. What is yoga?
Well, yoga traditionally has been defined as the union of the mind, body, and spirit. The root of the word yoga is yoke. And yoke is more of not so much to join, but to bring together. If you think of a yoke or a harness around a horse or two cows together, it's to bring them together, to recognize that they're separate, but they can be unified. And so
most of us think of it as a way of exercising, but it's really much more.
Yeah, if you look at the Yoga Sutras, one of the aims of yoga that Patanjali first came up with was to still the fluctuations of the mind. And we think of yoga just as physical poses, but there are actually eight limbs of yoga. And one of the most meaningful, I think, for our society is meditation, to prepare the body for stillness. It's very rare that we're still in this society. Our nervous system constantly stimulated. We're all constantly bombarded by images, by Facebook, by an external force. And it's very rare that we have a time to be very still with ourselves.
John, who is yoga right for?
Well, first I wanted to be able to point out and clarify, I'm not a certified yoga instructor. No, it's what our facility does, and what we really started to identify the great therapeutic uses for yoga is that mindfulness. Within the scope of our work, working with physical injuries and chronic pain, is that someone would go and go through a course of physical therapy.
And when you say we, you say Jade Integrated Health.
Yes.
When you say we, the people you work with, the health professionals you work with at Jade.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the physical therapists at Jade Integrated Health and myself as an acupuncturist were really looking for ways that we could integrate the therapeutic stretches that one would normally get through physical therapy, and how to tap in that mind-body connection to optimize the outcomes that those stretches are going to provide in that person's rehabilitation.
Okay. Nan, you're a medical doctor and a yoga teacher. What are the known medical benefits of yoga? How do you incorporate it in your patient's treatment?
Well, it's an interesting question, Jennifer, because I see patients who have either lost function because of something to do with a cervical, thoracic, or lumbar spine issue, or they're having pain. So a great deal of my practice is in increasing function and decreasing pain. And about 1 to 2 of the people I see for every 10 person has something that we can fix with a Western medicine approach, such as injections, medications, or surgery. And the other 8 to 9 really don't have something that's, quote, fixable. So then I began to explore what I could do to help the patients that I couldn't offer something from the Western plate of options. And what I found was that the yoga practitioners, in addition to other practitioners such as Pilates, Tai Chi, and other methods that work on having people learn how to slow down a bit and to live within their body, were really very effective in helping people continue to function. Many people have jobs, they have children they're raising. They can't afford to take to their beds or stop functioning just because they have some pain associated with a spine or musculoskeletal problem.
So what's an example of something that you've seen maybe several times that has been helped by yoga, and how much has it helped?
Well, I have a young woman now I'm working with who has a herniated disc, and she did not want to go to surgery, nor does she need to. She doesn't have weakness, she doesn't have bowel or bladder problems, and she doesn't have the kind of pain that's intolerable. And I'm working with her around some micro movements that yoga teaches you how to do. They teach you how to move just a little bit into flexion or a little bit into extension to shift the pressure off the disc and off the nerve. And it's working very well. She still has some symptoms, but there are symptoms she can work with. And I'm putting the tools into her hands to do the symptom management that she needs while her body heals herself from the disc herniation.
Interesting. Melanie, I know, and I've read about you, that you have worked with people who have long held patterns of tension and trauma. How does yoga help these psychological problems?
I think yoga helps the psychological problems because I really believe our body loves us and wants us to be happy. And when we can rest easy in the harness, when we can have tension released from the body, it relaxes the mind and changes the way we feel about ourselves and space. We've had people who have been practicing yoga even for 2 or 3 years who have been on Lipitor. They've been on a lot of these different drugs to help regulate issues that are happening in their body, and they find that they're able to, with a doctor's permission and through testing, to stop taking some medications. And it has a tremendous effect on their overall well-being. And when people are moving and you see people in this society with a head forward, shoulders forward, we're drawn into the world through our eyes, we're texting, we're at a computer kind of hunched over. There's a lot of tension in the chest and the shoulders. And through yoga, you see people moving in their body, resting in their mind, and being able to lift the shoulders up and back to come into a different structural pattern and to kind of change the way their mind feels about their body. It's very difficult to feel sad or depressed when your chest is actually lifted, when you feel a little bit your spine is lengthening, you feel your neck rise up out of your shoulders. So moving your body can have an effect on the way that you feel about yourself in space.
John, it looked to me like you're going to jump in.
To complement that excellent approach is that we are riddled with stress and we are at a great lack of outlets for those stress, for the stress that accumulates within us, and a lot of the physical postures that will become patterned, ingrained. And I think yoga is an excellent approach to reduce the stress patterns of the body while addressing those physical patterns of stress in the muscles of the back, of the shoulders. The best outcomes that I have oftentimes is recommending a client of mine who may have like plantar fasciitis. And it's not just what's going on in the bottoms of their feet or what's going on in their ankles that's giving them so much trouble. It's what's going up the backs of the calves. It's what's going along the hamstrings and in their lower back that provides a whole pattern of tension that is just becoming symptomatic in one remote area of their body. So if you're able to introduce a modality, a discipline, an exercise like yoga, they start to become more aware of how much tension their body has automatically been storing for very long periods of time and unwind that.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the drawbacks, if that's the right word, of yoga. There was a big article in the New York Times Sunday Magazine a couple years ago about a lot of injuries. Nan, what is your advice for someone who's thinking of starting out in yoga? How to find a teacher who really understands anatomy? How to find, you know, how do you going to end up? I understand there are kind of two camps of people who are the people who maybe start out too hard. You know, they push themselves too hard in the beginning and injure yourself. But then there are also the repetitive stress injuries that any sport can bring, any kind of physical activity. What is your advice for somebody thinking about getting into yoga and finding the right teacher and how to think about it as you begin?
Well, I think there's two answers to that. I was just with some yoga people this weekend, and I was a little horrified to hear one of them say that their approach to teaching yoga was to throw yourself into it, and then when you get injured, back off and figure out what you were doing wrong, to which I cringed. But the other approach is to, especially for the spine, is to be evaluated by a practitioner or someone who understands the spine. And I don't necessarily believe that has to be a physician, but I do, and I would say that many physicians don't even understand the spine. But to understand what your particular vulnerabilities may be. And some people have what's called spondylolisthesis, or two vertebrae that aren't stacked upright. Some people have scoliosis. And if you know you have a condition like that, then I think it behooves you to be with a yoga practitioner who's done additional training and understands the anatomy. There are several yoga teacher training programs. Some are 200 hours, some are 500 hours. Some are with people that really emphasize anatomy, and other are through programs who put less emphasis on that. And as we were discussing before the program, I think that yoga is a real wonderful tool in the hands of someone who has the proper training. But I think it should be done with someone who's trained in a program where they've learned good anatomy, and they also know when to ask for help if they have somebody that has a complicated spine. Because I have my yoga teacher training now, I'm pretty good in the office with telling people what they should avoid in yoga. The thing that really is often problematic is too much extension or too much flexion. And those things can be modified so that you can do the micro movements I was discussing earlier, where you just don't go into full extension or full flexion, which is hard on both the discs and also the facet joints, which are joints at the back of the spine. And those kinds of modifications can often allow somebody to actually do the parasympathetic relaxation part of yoga. And even more importantly, yoga is just brilliant about teaching people how to breathe, using their full spine, expanding their rib cage, grounding their sacrum. And those things, the benefits can be obtained without some of the potential liabilities.
Melanie, what kind of advice do you give students, you know, with the difference between a good hurt and a bad hurt? How do you explain that to especially people who may be beginners or only expanding in their practice?
Well, first of all, I would advise students to let their teacher know if you have any injuries or any pre-existing conditions, and to be very honest with yourself about where your body is that day, and to listen to your body. You have a responsibility, because the teacher, as well skilled as they might be, they don't know what's happening under your skin or what the pose feels like for you. So one of the most important things is to, you know, we say listen to your body, but Americans have a tendency to think of this as a sport, and we tend to push and push. And it takes a little bit of time to develop the deep listening to what's happening in your nervous system. And a good tool, as Nan said, is your breathing. And in different styles of yoga, pranayama is a limb of yoga. It's actually part of yoga. It's not just the physical pose, but it's the focus on breath. And breathing in and out really helps slow down your nervous system, in and out through your nose. And you let your body know you're okay, and you can relax in a pose. You don't have to push yourself too hard. And working with what you have, and slowly developing over time, I would start off with a more gentle form of practice with someone who's very experienced, who's been teaching yoga for at least 5 years.
Hmm. John, it's interesting to me because, I know Nan will agree with this, it's interesting how yoga has seeped into other parts of our lives. You know, you'll hear someone who's never been to a yoga class talk about breathing, or you'll go to a boot camp class and do a pose that's just like the pose you learned in yoga class a few years ago. But I'm interested in the kind of things that you do at Jade Integrated Health. How does yoga and other I don't know if the right word's modalities, other ways of treating people, how do they intersect and how do they draw on one another?
Well, we integrate these things with a lot of communication. From what Nan was saying about how the practitioner can support the instructor. So if we have a particular case where a person may be a little bit more vulnerable to a standard flow class, we'd want to take a more gentle approach, and we'd want the physical therapist to be communicating with the yoga instructor about the limitations, the strengths that that individual will have. And therefore, there'll be a modified set of poses already in place, already in the mind of the yoga instructor. If someone's coming off the street and they have a nature or an injury or an illness that might restrict their ability to do a gentle class, then we'd want them to talk to their physician or set up an appointment with the physical therapist to get a professional assessment, because then there'll be an objectification that the yoga instructor can then use as a guide. And it would be in a one-on-one setting, so the communication won't be distracted by many other participants, and then the student will be as clear as possible of what they should be doing, how they should be doing it, how often, and what the feedback their body should be giving them at that time.
Nan.
Just going back to your comment about the fact that yoga is seeping into our culture, Jennifer, when I was I have a friend who's a yoga teacher in Chicago who did some extra training in yoga rehabilitation, and now the insurance companies, some of the large insurance companies, are beginning to reimburse for yoga rehabilitation. What I heard when I was in Massachusetts last week and at a yoga conference was that in Massachusetts, if you're a physical therapist and you've done yoga teacher training or some sort of yoga training, again, they will reimburse you for yoga rehabilitation, which I think is very exciting, because I think many times the yoga approach is more effective for some conditions like osteoarthritis and some other conditions. It's a wonderful approach.
Interesting. Well, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions, including a question from Lillian in Waterville. Stay with us. This is Maine Calling.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listeners and by Maine's public universities. Join the people who are making Maine even smarter and stronger. Learn more at think.maine.edu. And Casella, committed to improving Maine's air quality through the conversion of landfill gas to energy. Casella, giving resources new life.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk about cybercrime and cybersecurity with Brian Krebs, former Washington Post reporter who writes the blog Krebs on Security. He exposes cybercrime networks and as a result has also been a target of cybercriminals. He broke the stories about the credit card breaches at Target and Neiman Marcus. Join us.
Join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock. This September, MPBN Television will premiere a new Ken Burns documentary, The Roosevelts, which details the lives of Theodore Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. MPBN is partnering with Roosevelt Campobello International Park to bring this documentary to life across Maine through a series of special events and screenings. Later this summer, we'll host special advance screenings of The Roosevelts. Coming right up, our special Traveling Tea with Eleanor events. For the Roosevelts, tea was an important social event. Roosevelt Campobello International Park, located in New Brunswick, Canada, have a special program they take on the road. Tea with Eleanor consists of groups of 20 or so bottomless cups of tea, cookies, and absorbing conversation about Eleanor Roosevelt. The next Tea with Eleanor is at Ocean View in Falmouth, Thursday, July 10th at 3. Space is limited. Reserve your place soon. Visit mpbn.net and click on events for more information.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Yoga, Is It For You? In the studio with me, Melanie Burns, a certified Baptiste teacher who owns and operates the Snow Squall Bed and Breakfast and Wicked Good Yoga in Wiscasset, Maine. Great name. Dr. Nan Ball is a physiatrist at Maine Neurosurgery and Spine at Maine Medical Center and also a yoga instructor. John Charlebois is a licensed acupuncturist specializing in traditional Chinese medicine and Qigong at, did I pronounce that right?
Perfect.
Jade Integrated Health. We invite you to join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. You can email talk@mpbn.net. You can send a tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. We're going to go first to Lillian in Waterville. Hi, Lillian. Go ahead.
Hi. I don't have a question. I have more of a comment and a brief history. I started teaching yoga in 1973. I was the first yoga teacher in the area, and to show what yoga was considered at that time, one woman thought it was so funny that I did yoga, and did I think I could, she didn't think I was the kind who would sneak off and do weird things. And the other one thought it was so funny that I did yoga, and did I really think I could defend myself. So yoga has come a long way, and I think this program will help keep going. Thank you for listening.
Well, Lillian, how old were you when you became interested in yoga and became a yoga instructor? Do you mind if I ask?
I don't mind asking. I'm going to be 90 real soon, so if you could figure, I was in my 40s.
Okay.
And I had never done anything physical.
Wow. And how would you, I suspect you probably have friends and clients who are older than average, and what advice would you give them if they're thinking about starting yoga?
They need to find a teacher who is not a no pain, no gain kind of person that takes into consideration their limitations due to their age, because there are limitations due to age and other physical problems. I'm losing my vision, which really affects my balance. So they need to talk to their teacher and tell where they are.
So impress us. What can you do right now that most 90-year-olds can't do? Can you stand on your head?
I can't anymore. I haven't tried it for a long time. I used to, and I loved it, and I miss it now. I can, just to check myself now, I can bend over and touch my toes without bending my knees.
Wow.
Which not every 90-year-old can do.
Not many 40-year-olds can do, too. Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to call in. And do any of you have any questions for Lillian?
Just thank you. Thank you so much for bringing yoga to Maine.
Yes. Great.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you. Going to Lori in South Portland. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for this wonderful show today. There is no doubt in my mind that yoga will be of benefit to me, but there's a little bit of an intimidation factor for me going into that first class and not knowing a thing about it. And my question, I have two questions. One would be, do you feel that in a class setting, an absolute beginner can get what he or she needs for that first class and to help with that intimidation factor? But also, I think that there must be benefit to the group setting. I'm just not sure what that is, but I bet that there is something that people get from being around others doing or performing yoga. Thank you.
Melanie.
Yeah, I would say the best way to know what it would feel like for you is to do it. And you have a benefit and you have an advantage over everyone else in the room is that you have a beginner's mind. And that's what we all strive for, is to have no expectations and to be with yourself in this experience and have everything be new, and to drop any expectations of yourself or of anybody else in the class, and to feel what it feels like to be in your body moving and breathing. And there is a benefit to being, I believe, in a classroom setting, in that you are all breathing together and doing things in unison. And that in itself can be really transformative. You know, we have very few opportunities to be in a community together practicing something with a common vision or a common energy. And I believe yoga is really powerful.
Nan?
Well, I was going to ask if you have children, because one of the things I learned as a parent was that after a while, all the advice I got from lots of people as I looked around wasn't nearly as powerful as the sense that I knew my own children and I knew what was best for them, and I could start to get a sense of confidence as a parent. I started yoga also in my 40s. I have a pretty strong family history of arthritis, so I have a knee and a shoulder, And I can tell you there are many days that I go to a yoga class that I feel intimidated, even as a teacher, when I become a student again, because I'm never quite sure what my body is going to do on that particular day, whether I'm going to be able to do certain poses or whether I'm going to have more pain in a knee or whether my shoulder is going to hold out. And so I would agree that I approach every class as if it's a new class as a beginner, and that I really feel that I know my own body better than the instructor, better than the students who are watching me. And for some reason, I just have become oblivious to the other students. I still get into the mentality that I think a lot of us carry, which is, what is my next door neighbor going to think of me? My body probably doesn't look as good as theirs. I'm really envious that they can do such and such a pose. And that's what we call all the thoughts that go through your mind. And I just watch those thoughts now. I don't really grab onto them or identify with them, but it takes some training of the mind to learn how to be comfortable in a yoga class, especially if you're surrounded by people in their 30s who are in much better shape or look better or can do more than you. And it's definitely a skill that's helped me out in the rest of my life to learn how to just feel comfortable within myself.
You know, when I first began to do some yoga classes, I'll confess, I always stood in the back. And my reason wasn't that I didn't want people, I wasn't self-conscious about as much as that I was self-conscious about the kind of things Nan mentioned, but I didn't want somebody else following me. You know, I didn't want someone looking over to me to see how something was supposed to be done because I didn't know what I was doing. I wanted to, I like to keep my eye on the people who appeared to have been doing it for years. Is that an okay strategy?
Well, for us, if we have people who are new to yoga or who are beginners, we like to put them in the middle.
Ah.
Because then they can see left to right, front to back. If they're unsure of a pose, they can sort of look around. And also they get the benefit of all of that great energy coming towards them right in the center.
Right, right. So does that answer your question, Lori?
Well, I'll tell you, and more. Those answers are exactly what I think I'm drawn to starting yoga, because it's more about the energy that I could possibly get or maybe even give. I don't know. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so very much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
And I would add one last thing for you, Lori. Lori, you live in South Portland. You have a huge selection. You have a great array of classes. And you can make calls to various studios and ask if you can find a class that has your peers in it, whether it be age or gender or ability. And I would also look for classes that aren't of overwhelming numbers. I would look for a class that would have five or fewer would be my recommendation starting off, because you want to be able to get that guidance. You want to be able to get that attentiveness from the instructor without them having to tend to 20, 30 other participants. You need that when you're starting off.
Great advice. Melissa on our Facebook page asks, any place with cheap yoga around Portland? I love yoga, but I can find it can be expensive. And that's true. A class is sort of between the $12 and $20 range in a lot of places, at least in the greater Portland area. I don't know if that's true on the Mid-Coast.
On the Mid-Coast, we do have classes that are free. We have community classes on Sunday mornings from 7:30 to 8:45 in the morning. And you'll find there are some studios that are starting to offer donation-only classes. We have donation-only classes, and our donations go to the local animal shelter. So you'll see that I think that's a trend that's starting to arise. And also, if you have a financial situation, speak to the studio owner. There are plenty of times where I've extended, if somebody is in a difficult financial situation, I would rather see them on their mat than off. So you'll find that I think people who are trying to be of service will be of service to you if you ask.
If you're looking at somebody's schedule, a yoga studio's schedule, and you see community class, does that often mean a donation?
It's usually a lower price. Then mm-hmm. It's either donation-based or a lower price than the standard class.
Okay.
And there are resources in the Portland area, I think. It was once called Main Time Dollar, but now I think it's called Main Time Bank. And I know that there are yoga instructors that participate. So if you participate in that barter group, that trade group, then you should be able to gain instruction without having to put forth any kind of monetary cost.
And there are studios who also have what they call saboteur or volunteer programs, where if you are behind the front desk and you're checking people in, they give you free yoga in exchange, or washing towels or cleaning the studio. So there are different options for people. I would just check out different studios in the area and see what's available.
And I believe that many of the community centers, like South Portland Community Center or Cape Elizabeth Community Center, have like 6 or 8 weeks of lessons at a discounted rate as well.
Great. Going to David in Brunswick. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi there. I just want to make two comments. Number one, I'm an older man, 71. I started doing yoga at age 70 because I'm a runner and I'm not the most flexible person in the world, and I have a breathing issue. I've been doing it every other day for a year and a half, and it's been amazing for breathing, for balance, for flexibility. I did have a few private sessions with a friend who teaches yoga, but then for the last year or so, I've been getting up early in the morning and using a DVD on my laptop, which for me works fine. And so I do it 50 minutes to an hour every other day, and I can't recommend it enough for older people, especially males, especially people who aren't the most flexible in the world.
David, have you found benefits other than flexibility?
Yeah, definitely breathing and balance. Definitely breathing and balance. And I think mentally, too, to put aside everything and just focus, meditate, concentrate on your body, let things go. All of the above.
So you're able to do that even though it's a DVD on a laptop?
Yes.
That's great. Thanks so much for calling in. Going to Anne in East Madison. Hi, Anne. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for doing this program. It's fabulous. I've been doing yoga for close to 30 years, and I've got, you know, all the issues, the knees, the neck, stenosis, and I feel like my life is just so great. And I just want to do a thank you to the instructors at Somerset Fitness in Skowhegan, Liddy, Peggy, and Arlene. I've been with Arlene for years and years. I've just recently retired, and I've always done a meditation and yoga practice on my own, but I've now been able to do classes 4 times a week with one of these instructors, and it's just brought even more joy into my life.
Well, Anne, that's lovely. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. We have go ahead, John.
Well, it's, you know, you just had a segment on this morning about what a good word to use to describe the senior population. So I'm struggling with a complimentary word. You know, from the standpoint of the elder population is the largest segment of the population in Maine, and to really call out to studios and to really advocate that there be more senior-level classes, that there be more classes for the active 50-year-olds, over 50-year-olds, and to let that be a concentration within the yoga community, to bring that to the yoga community, because it's definitely a population within the state of Maine and across the country, across the world, that get some of the greatest benefit to keep them independent, to keep them strong, to keep them active, to keep their pain down. The prescription for pain medications in Maine is much higher per capita than the rest of the country. And using yoga as a tool to teach people how to manage their pain, how to increase flexibility and decrease compression, therefore reducing pain, would go a long way at reducing the amount of pain prescriptions that occur in this state.
So you feel as though if there's one thing the yoga community in this state, if there's such a thing as the yoga community can and should be doing right now, is really expanding its offerings to senior citizens.
It's something that we've brought to the table with Maine Yoga Fest that's going on this weekend, and they received it very, very well, and it's going to be one of the community workshops. So that'll be free.
Great. Well, we're going to talk about that in just a minute when we get back. More of your comments and questions and more about Maine Yoga Fest. Please stay with us.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listeners and by Baxter Brewing Company in Lewiston, introducing Tarnation California-style lager, a new year-round brew in cans and on draft, baxterbrewing.com, and Maine's public universities. When you think about your future, think Maine. Learn more at think.maine.edu. Join us this afternoon at 1 o'clock following Maine Calling for Speaking in Maine. We'll head to the Portland Club for an address by Nicholas Burns on today's foreign policy challenges. That's Speaking in Maine coming up after Maine Calling here on MPBN Radio. Every day you hear messages about local businesses and organizations that provide their financial support to MPBN. They all understand the value of MPBN in our community and have decided to make public radio and television a part of their marketing effort. If you would like to learn what these folks already know, visit mpbn.net and click on Business Support to find information about the value of sponsorship, answers to frequently asked questions, and contact information, or call us at 1-800-884-1717 and ask for Susan Tran. As always, thank you for your support of public broadcasting in Maine.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Yoga for Everyone. In the studio with me, John Charlebois, a licensed acupuncturist specializing in traditional Chinese medicine at Jade Integrated Health. Melanie Burns, a certified Baptiste teacher who owns and operates the Snow Squall Bed and Breakfast and Wicked Good Yoga in Wiscasset. And Dr. Nan Ball, I said it right the first two times, Nan,
physiatrist
at Maine Medical Center and the Spine and Neurosurgery Center there. We invite you to join our conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Before we went to a break, John and I were talking about the Maine Yoga Fest coming up this weekend. I know you're all taking part. Started last year, but this year already 500 people signed up. What can people expect, Melanie?
They can expect excellent instruction from over 35 different teachers throughout the state of Maine. I believe there are 45 workshops. There are free panels on things like meditation, advice from people like John and Nan who are going to be on a panel. And it's just an amazing community building event. And there's a really fun blacklight yoga party that's going to be on, I believe, on Saturday night from 7 to 9. Excellent teachers, not only from the state, but also from the New England area, Jackie Bonwell, who's a favorite teacher of Maine. She's an excellent yoga teacher, and she'll be doing, I believe, two classes, and I get to teach two classes, so I'm very excited this year, and I'm very grateful both of them sold out, and they asked me to add more people to the class, which I did, so I'm looking forward to that on Saturday and Sunday.
Great, and we have information about Maine Yoga Fest on the Maine Calling Facebook page. Also, before break, we were talking about one of our callers uses a DVD, and Nan, you had some thoughts about the use of DVDs.
Well, one of the things I learned when I started yoga teacher training was that for every medical condition, scoliosis, Parkinson's, osteoporosis, there's often someone who's taken the lead in developing DVD series which have yoga that's appropriate for specific medical conditions. One of the ones I think is very powerful is there's a whole yoga branch that deals with depression in the Western world and what you can do through yoga to deal with depression. That's there's a course going on this weekend on that in Kripala. And so I would encourage you to Google whatever medical condition you have plus yoga and see if there isn't a series or someone that you could read up on that would be educational but also help you to tailor yoga for your particular medical condition.
Great. Well, going to Al in Aroostook. Hi, Al.
Hi. I just wanted to speak I'm a nurse practitioner. I'm also an aging baby boomer and a beginning yoga practitioner, not a practitioner, but a practicer. In my own practice, I see so many aging issues focused around balance, strength, and flexibility. And I can't emphasize enough just in my own 2 to 3 months practice how much yoga has helped with that. And I also wanted to say that addressing people's issues about wanting or not wanting to go to classes, I think part of one of the issues in our culture is we tend to be very competitive and compare ourselves to others. And one thing yoga usually emphasizes is the non-competitive nature. And, you know, for me, a home DVD works very, very well in that I can do it. I try to do it every day, but that usually turns out 4 to 5 times a week. And there's very few people who can really get to that many classes during a week. So I would encourage people to investigate the DVDs, and also there's a good yoga site called Yoga Glow out there that has very good instruction. Not that it's not great to go to classes. It is great to go to classes, but to get the maximum benefit from yoga, I think you need to do it more than once or twice a week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead, John.
I really do agree with you, Al. And but, you know, what we try to be able to offer is have two classes that are focused on the over 50 population, because oftentimes you'll have individuals coming in that aren't conditioned, that do not have a regular exercise regimen, that may be in less than optimal shape. And to be able to get them started off on the right foot so they can matriculate, they can grow, they can develop in the practice of yoga, getting them started on the right foot is crucial. And that's why at Jaded Integrated Health, we really started focusing the classes for the over 50 population to get them beyond that conditioning period so they can enjoy it for years and years and years to come, whether it be in a class or whether it be at home of a DVD or a video.
And I agree with you, John. I think that's a big step in terms of injury prevention, is to go slow and learn the basic skills before you start to advance.
Okay, going to Bill in Otisville. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
I did yoga, but I'm...
Bill, I'm so sorry. You're cutting in and out. Your service seems to be... But I see from the notes that are given to me that you want to know about classes in your area and that you are in a wheelchair. And we also have an email from Celine in Casco, who uses a wheelchair. So we'll put this out to our audience. Do we know of any seated yoga classes in either the Casco area or in the Otisfield area? Unfortunately, all of our guests are based in different areas. Any advice on trying to find... a specialist?
Well, there is a website that's run by the Yoga Alliance. It has basically, you can put in your geographic area and it will tell you what yoga studios are in your area. And those studios could be contacted to ask whether or not they would modify, or someone could attend a yoga class and they could just modify it for a wheelchair if a class isn't specifically a seated yoga class.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry we couldn't hear you, Bill. We have a question from, let's see, Winnie, an email. She writes, could you speak to the pros and cons of yoga in the setting of osteoporosis? Anything to avoid?
Well, Lauren Fishman is a gentleman. He's a doctor who trained in yoga before he became a physician, actually. He's in New York City, and he's written a book called Yoga for Osteoporosis. He's, I believe, the only one I know that's taken that on as a specific topic. And I'm not aware that there's any postures that you have to avoid. I think the weight-bearing postures are excellent for osteoporosis. And again, I would refer to his book for details. Certainly, someone with osteoporosis who decides to do yoga is doing weight-bearing poses in the standing postures, along with hopefully walking and other approaches. But he has basically addressed an entire book to this topic.
Great. And we'll try to get a link to that or information about that on our Main Calling Facebook page. Speaking of our Facebook page, from Jennifer, she writes, so far everyone is discussing the benefits to the individual practitioner. Can you comment on the impact yoga has or can have on the community at large? In the USA, we are so focused on what something gives us. John.
What we try to do at Jade Integrated Health is go to other businesses. We try to work with the business community, because being able to have a yoga class within their business community helps that micro community. Bringing mindfulness, bringing reduction of stress into the workplace can have a positive impact on the setting, on the vibe, on the tone of the workplace. And if we could get more municipalities, we offer this to schools, we offer this to teachers. If we can bring those benefits to municipalities, to corporate partners, to businesses at large, and I think bit by bit, piece by piece, you can have a greater impact on the community in general.
Melanie.
Yeah, my take on that is that, you know, as Gandhi said, you must be the change you want to see in the world. And the letters that we get and the feedback that we get a lot of times as yoga teachers that make us really want to be good yoga teachers are that through yoga, I've become a better mother. Through yoga, I found space to be a better listener. Through yoga, I found time to be a better wife or a better husband or a better daughter. And I think that's how change begins. It begins with the individual. You know, it's not trying to change someone else. It's looking at yourself and saying, where can I find a little space between the stimulus and response so I'm not as reactive? Where can I find a little bit more time to listen deeply to how this is affecting me so I'm not so reactionary? And I think it just begins one class at a time, one breath at a time.
Going to Betsy in Millbridge. Hi, Betsy. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say I've been doing yoga for 50 years, and I didn't take my training to be a teacher until I was 60. And at that time, I had a kind of mindset about old age. I can't do this. I can't do that. I was easing up on things. And I must say, in the course of that training, I really changed psychologically in terms of what an older person can do. And I practice every day. I'm 71 and in great health, and I attribute a great deal of it to yoga.
Yoga Fantastic. Really does put the mental and physical barriers that you invest in, that you buy into day after day, right in front of you. And slowly, methodically, and with less stress, you meet those barriers and you move beyond those barriers. And that extends beyond the class.
Well, I can respond to both of the last two callers by saying that, for example, with knee arthritis, I've had to think a lot about the traditional medical way of dealing with it, which is you basically walk on a bad knee until you get it replaced. And I think yoga has taught me, and I'm integrating it into my work as a physician, that there's a prehabilitation process that that people do to make sure their muscles are strong and their alignment is good before you have a knee replacement that then helps in the rehabilitation course. And I don't think many people in the Western medical world think about the process of keeping your body fit prior to having to deal with a medical problem so that when you rehabilitate from it, you're in a much better place. The same thing with surgery. People who do a pre-surgery rehabilitation process do better after surgery. So you can integrate both of those approaches together, and yoga helps you do that.
I'm sorry, Betsy, could you repeat that? We had your volume down. Go ahead.
I couldn't agree more. I have so much gratitude to our teacher who said, you know, stay away from surgery, just keep practicing on a regular basis and keep juice flowing to all the muscles and so on. And I haven't had to have anything done. I just practice every day.
Let me ask you this. You said that when you took the teacher training at age 60, there were things that you had already started to assume that you couldn't do anymore. What is something? Give us an example of something you were, an obstacle you'd given yourself that you realized really shouldn't be there.
Well, it's pretty horrifying, but the biggest one was she said, put your leg behind your head. I said, you've got to be kidding.
To which I say, you've got to be kidding
that.
Me.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's a real surprise to yourself because you think, good Lord, look at all these young people. You're picking on me. And, I mean, I must say, I fought through a lot of hostility toward her as I practiced every day, but now I have nothing but gratitude.
Well, thank you so much. I think we have time for one more call, so we'll go to Ann in Stonington. Hi, Ann. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to share, especially in relation to community, that there's a fairly active group of volunteer yoga teachers who instruct in the prison and jails in Maine. And it's having done that as a yoga instructor, I can say that it is absolutely the most powerful yoga instruction I've ever provided and received back. So I don't know if that has been brought up in the program previously, but it's really important that people are aware of that as a resource in the community.
It has not been brought up on the program yet. And tell me, you said most powerful. In what way?
Just the presence. The presence among the students who are in the jail, and the presence that they helped me with, the openness that they came to the class with. It was very, very powerful.
Well, thank you so much. And unfortunately, Anne is our last call tonight. This has been a very quick hour. I want to thank all our guests for joining us today. Dr. Nancy Ball is a physiatrist at Maine Medical Center and a yoga instructor. Melanie Burns is a certified Baptiste teacher who owns and operates the Snow Squall Bed and Breakfast in Wiscasset and Wicked Good Yoga. John Charlebois is a licensed acupuncturist specializing in traditional Chinese medicine at Jade Integrated Health. Tomorrow on the program, what might new EPA regulations mean for businesses in Maine? Join host Keith Shortall for a discussion about how the Environmental Protection Agency plans to reduce the country's carbon emissions from the electricity sector. John Geimel ran the board for today's program, and we had additional help from the MPBN web team. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our podcast by visiting mpbn.net/Maine Calling. You can also find our podcasts on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.